We begin from Torah Resh Lamed Hey, chapter 235. We dedicate the shir today, Le'ilui Nishmas, my Rebbe, Horav Tziaye ben Tzion, Rebbe Yisrael Abba Rosenfeld, Zichron Levracha. Everything we teach, everything we know, he had an extremely important role in it, Baruch Hashem. Rabbeinu Zal says, Da, you should know, Shemi Shehoilech V'nechlak V'noifel, that if a person is walking and they slip and fall, va'azai ho'olam sochak mimenu, and then people laugh at the person, some people unfortunately find something like that funny, v'hu misbayesh mizeh, and the person is embarrassed by this, ze bo al yidei shepogam besimchas yontif. This comes about as a result of the fact that the person committed something wrong, did something wrong, regarding the mitzvah of being happy on Yontif. Yontif here means the Jewish holidays. Ki Yom Tov Nikra Regel, because we find in the Torah the holidays are referred to by the term Regel, Shalosh Regolim, the three holidays. And Regel also means foot, V'gam Nikra Moyed. And a holiday is also called in Hebrew Moyed, Eile Moyade Hashem. V'alidei Shepogam B'Simchas Yontif, and by a person, chas v'shalom, showing disrespect to the joy and happiness of a Jewish holiday of Yontif, nasa mizeh regel moyed. This causes a shaky leg, regel moyed. Again, these two terms, which you mean holiday, they change to form, take on another translation of the word, which means a shaky leg. Alkein ragloi moyado venofal. That's why the person's leg, the person's foot, gave way, and the person fell. Vezeh haschoik shesoichakin, and the laughter that people laugh at this person when they see this happen. Hu bechinas hasimchois nefulois. That's an aspect of the fallen happiness. Mipigam simchas yontif. As a result of the fact that the person did not celebrate the holiday properly, they didn't enjoy, they weren't happy for the right reason for the holiday, the Jewish holiday, and celebrate it with joy and happiness, like the Torah teaches us, with good wine, with good clothing, with good food, with special Torah. Because the person didn't do that, the happiness takes a fall, chas v'shalom, and it falls into a negative side. V'alkein mizbayesh, and it's for this reason that the person ends up being embarrassed. Ki avodazoro nikro boishes, because we know that idol worship is referred to as shame. There's actually a pasuk in the prophets where it refers to an idol by this term boishes in Hosea chapter 9. V'hamevazes hamoyadois kilu oivid avodazoro. And the Gemara tells us that if a person shows disrespect to the holidays, it's as if the person worshipped idols. Al kein bo olav habusha. That's why the person experiences and suffers this shame and embarrassment. Ulefamim hu loy lechapora. Sometimes the fact that a person goes through this experience, where they slip and fall and they're embarrassed, sometimes it serves as a kapora, as an atonement for this sin, the improper respect for the holiday, chas v'shalom, ulefamim ein eschaper loy bozeh. And sometimes the person's sin is not forgiven, but rather, rak kedei lahazkiroi sheyoshuv. But rather, the fact that they're going through this type of a painful experience is happening in order to remind the person to repent, to do tshuva. The Gemara tells us that there are three reasons why Hashem imposes suffering on a person. Sometimes Hashem does it to atone and erase a person's sins. At other times, Hashem does it to serve as a reminder for the person that the person must do tshuva, they must repent. And sometimes it's an act of love from Hashem in order to increase the person's reward in Olam Haba, in the world to come. That by the person experiencing suffering in this world, It eliminates, it takes away suffering in the next world, and it allows the person to experience higher and higher levels in the future world. Interestingly, Rabbeinu Zal in chapter 65 in Likutei Moran has a very deep discussion related to this, where he speaks about how when a person suffers, they close their eyes sometimes, and sometimes very tightly. And by doing that, they're closing their eyes to this world and taking themselves out of this world to a much higher place where there is no suffering. There, the person knows that everything is really good. What seems to be bad and what's good, it's all really good. Baruch Hashem. Any questions?
Boshes in terms of what is Ara. What does that mean related to each Boshes, Sulsan?
He was a son of Shaul HaMelech. I don't remember at this moment why he got that name, but as far as I know, it's not related to Avodah Zarah.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
Rabbi Maimon, so with respect to Boshes, how does a person able to discern what the Boshes is coming for? Is it coming for to be Mechaper, or is it coming for another reason?
The answer is that people on our level can't necessarily tell. So if at all possible, we should definitely use it as a motivation, as an inspiration to do tshuva. It would take a very great tzaddik to be able to recognize and identify whether it's this or that. But again, the Gemara gives us these three options. For us, it's certainly when a person experiences any kind of suffering or pain in a particular area, we try to improve in things that are relevant to that area, that part of the body or that time of the year, whatever it is.
So is it the reason why we have these two or these three different choices in order to help us in our cheshbon on nefesh when we're trying to discern why this
Correct. Happens? And also in the case, for example, when we see a tzaddik suffer, to be able to know that in a case of a true tzaddik, his suffering is not necessarily because of sins he committed or anything like that, but rather sometimes it's to elevate him to levels which he couldn't get to without that, without going through that.
Shukaya.
Torah Reish Lamed Vav, chapter 236. Mi shenoyheg rabonus bekashrus ubetmimus. A person who serves as a rabbi of a synagogue, a rabbi of a community, and he does it properly, kosher, legitimate, and also with sincerity, koroi, as is appropriate. Al yidei ze zoyche sheyale legedula lesoif yomov. Through this, the person will attain greatness towards the end of his life. What do we mean by greatness in this case? Whatever is considered to be greatness, prominence, in that generation, that person will rise to that level of greatness. And Rabbeinu Zal says, Kigoin Badoir Hazeh, for example, in our generation, She'ikar Hagdula Vahakovaidu Kishemachzikin Oisoi Letzadik Mafursam. In our generation, where in the religious world, when we speak about prominence and honor, it's when a person is recognized and publicized as being a tzaddik, his name spreads, his fame spreads, that people consider him to be a tzaddik. Azai zoiche sheyiskabel besoif yomov lemefursam godol. Then this person, towards the end of his life, will become well-known and recognized, will achieve recognition as being a great person. Af shebe'emes enoy kein. Even though in actuality, he's not great, he's not a leading tzaddik or anything like that, or he's not a top Talmud Chacham, rak shehu ish kosher poshut. But rather, he's a good religious man. V'noisnen lo yischoroi koidem sheyoytse min oilom. And they give him his reward before he leaves this world. That's his reward. The reward is this fame and prominence. V'achar kach, and afterwards, and Rabbeinu Zal did not finish the statement. Now this afterwards, and in none of the Sforim does it actually mention in writing what Rabbeinu Zal was referring to. However, it's known there's an oral tradition that Rabbeinu Zal was referring to is one of two possibilities. One possibility is that the person is receiving this reward in this world and it detracts to a degree from the reward in the next world. We know the Gemara gives us examples of this, where a person was offered some type of wealth, some type of major blessing in this world, and they were shown that this would detract from their blessing in the next world. That's one possibility. Or, chas v'shalom, another possibility is the case where the person is being tested. The person is given this fame and prominence in this world, and we know that that's a major test, Rahman al-Islan. That if a person is given this fame and prominence, whether the person takes the credit for themselves or they play hot potato with it, that any respect and prominence that's being pointed towards them, they deflect it to Hashem. That this is Hashem's knowledge, it's the blessing of Hashem that gave me whatever abilities, whatever talents I have, and therefore the person who handles it properly can receive the full benefit in the future world. It's interesting to note, I once heard from my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld that he commented on something a little bit related to this. There's a Mishnah in Peah where the Mishnah speaks about a person trying to collect charity, and because of the fact that the person knows that an ordinary person, people will give them an ordinary donation. If people see that a person is blind or crippled or some kind of a major defect like that, it usually arouses more pity on the part of the donors to increase their donation. So the Gemara says there that if a person makes believe that they're blind in order to fool people and in order to get that larger donation, the person will not leave the world before they become blind, chas v'shalom. If a person makes believe they're a cripple, they will not leave the world before they become a cripple. So my Rebbe Rav Rosenfeld asked, what about if the person makes believe he's a tzaddik? He's an admor, he's a great Rosh Yeshiva, when he isn't really. What does that mean? He will not leave the world without becoming a tzaddik? And he said it means that in the beginning, the person's fooling other people, but he himself knows who he is and who he's not. The punishment is, chas v'shalom, that the person will end up fooling themselves. The person will actually end up believing it, believing that they're a tzaddik when they haven't gotten to that level at all whatsoever. And that's the greatest curse, chas v'shalom. Because when a person thinks they're a tzaddik and they're not, that person can't really be helped because the person thinks they're perfectly okay. They don't need any help. They're complete, chas v'shalom. Any questions?
Person who was a Rav Bekashrus of Atvinus, at the end of his life is godless. Rabbeinu is saying that it will lead him to a test for possible growth for him, but if he fails it, then it will be a diminishing of his reward later?
Correct. Because again, the way it's being presented here, initially it appears that he's Tmimus and Kashrus, but if when he's given this fame, he takes it the wrong way and he misuses it, it seems that that implies that he wasn't really that pure to begin with. Torah Reish Lamed Zayin. We touched on this topic several times before. This is another opportunity where Rabbeinu Zal gives further clarification on this. Iker hanigun v'hakleishir hevi levi lo'olam. The power of song and music was really introduced into the world, especially by Levi, the son of Leah and Yaakov Avinu. And the Zohar HaKadosh goes so far as to say that until Levi was born, the angels who are assigned to sing before Hashem were not able to perform their duties. She'ikar hanigun misitra delevoi, because the real essence of song and music comes from the side of Levi, which means the left side. Gvura, Kohen, is always associated with Chesed. Levi is associated with Gvura. V'zeh shamro Leah, and this is why. We had this just this past week in the Parsha of the Week. Leah said, when her son Levi was born, she said, Hapam yilove ishyelai. Now, my husband will be deeply attached to me. She'ato hapam shenoilad Levi. At this point, when Levi was born, She'al yodoi bo b'chinas hanigun u'klei shir lo'olam, who was the one who really brought song and music to the world, hapam yilove ishyelai. Now my husband will be deeply attached to me, bevadai, most definitely. Ki hischabrus shnei dvorim, hu'al yedei nigun u'klei shir. Because the bringing together, joining two things, is accomplished by song and music. V'hovein, and understand this very well, Rabbeinu Zal says. V'zeh b'chinas klei zemer shemenagnin al chasana. This will explain the significance that in a Jewish wedding, in a religious wedding, one of the most important pieces is the music, the song and the music that plays at the wedding. That if that song and music is coming from a holy place, from a good place, that's what joins the husband and wife in holy matrimony. That's what really makes the bond a spiritual, a true, successful spiritual bond. Rav Nosson Zal expounds on this in Likutei Halachos and Eben Ezer. And Rav Nosson Zal also tells us that this is why one of the major sections in Shachris is called Psukei Dezimra. We start our Shachris prayer with Karbonos, where we speak about these animal sacrifices, and at that point we're elevating the fallen sparks, the sparks that have fallen into the domain of the Sitrachra, we elevate them and we remove them from there. Then we go on to the next section of Tefillah, which is Psukei Dezimra, which is the beginning of the union, a deep union and connection between us and Hashem, and that's the introduction to Kriya Shema and Shmoneh Esrei. Before we can go to Kriya Shema, where we declare our faith and loyalty to Hashem, and Shmoneh Esrei, where we get to the closest connection to Hashem, the ladder that takes us there is Psukei Dezimra, the special songs from Tehillim that we sing, the Hoidul Hashem Kiru Vishmoi, the Mizmor Shir Chanukas, the Boro Shomar, all of those special psalms that are part of Psukei Dezimra. And Rav Nosson Zal also says that this is the incredible significance of a Jew saying Tehillim in general, because Tehillim is the songs of the great singer Dovid HaMelech, the great singer and musician Dovid HaMelech, and those songs are what bring about a deep connection between us and Hashem, and between Hashem and us. This is why we find there are some chapters in Tehillim that begin with the words Mizmor LeDavid, and other ones LeDavid Mizmor, showing this two-directional flow. The Gemara says sometimes David HaMelech had Ruach HaKodesh, and then he would sing, and sometimes he would sing and then get the Ruach HaKodesh. But it's all about this chibur, this deep, deep connection between the person and Hashem that's brought about by the proper kosher music and song. And unfortunately, when the singers are not religious people, or the singers are singing not for the glory of Hashem, other motivations, it detracts from the effectiveness, from the holiness and the effectiveness of this power of song and music to bring about this deep connection to Hashem. We know, and Rav Nosson Zal talks about this, that when a person is down, when a person is distant from Hashem, one of the ways that they can close that gap is by hearing the proper kind of song and music, or if the person themselves sings the right kind of song to themselves, that's an incredible, incredible elevation. It awakens the spirit inside of the person, the neshama inside of the person, and it awakens a strong, deep desire for closeness to Hashem. When Rabbeinu Zal said this, he was actually at a wedding at the time with his students. And he added an additional point. He quoted a pasuk in Tehillim, chapter 119, where the pasuk says, Dovid HaMelech says, Sorim ridafuni chinam. Princes persecuted me for nothing, for no real reason. I never did anything wrong to them. Rabbeinu Zal said that the first letters of these three words, Sorim ridafuni chinam, make up the word rachash. Rachash is a Yiddish term that was used in those days to refer to the stipend that was given to a rabbi, a chazan, or a shochet. These three people were community servants, the rabbi of a city or community, the chazan of a shul, or the shochet of a community, and they were known to receive this thing that was called rachash, which was a special type of gift, a special type of fee that was given to them. So Rabbeinu Zal commented at the time, Rav Nosson Zal writes, Zeh ho'inyin heim divrei tzachus shomer al atzmoi. This statement is actually sort of a joke that Rabbeinu Zal said related to himself, Shehayu noyagim liten loy rachash hamagia lo rav. In the city that he lived at the time, there was a custom to bring rachash to the rabbi. We were once standing in the presence of Rabbeinu Zal when there was a wedding in this city, V'omaroz inyan anal, and that was when he spoke about these two topics. Number one, Me'inyan Klei Zemer Shemrakna Al-Chasana, he spoke about the music that's played at a wedding. And in addition, he mentioned this topic of the rachash that's given to the rabbi. Kichein hoyo darkoi bakoidish, because this was Rabbeinu Zal's holy custom. Sha'al pi roiv hoyo oimer toiro me'en ma shehoyo naseh v'nidbaroz boiseu eis. In many instances, based on what was going on at the time, Rabbeinu Zal would speak Divrei Torah that were relevant to what was taking place at the time. So here there was a wedding, there was music playing. Rabbeinu Zal spoke about the music, and he also spoke about this rachash, this custom of rachash. It's possible, I'm not sure it's possible, that at the wedding the chazan would perform. The chazan, the official chazan, would sing. We know that it is written in other places in Rabbeinu Zal's Sforim that when there was a Shalom Zohar, part of the responsibility of the chazan was to come to the Shalom Zohar and to sing. Kashir Yisbor Mizeh B'mokam Achara. V'oz Hoyu Meisichin L'fonav Minyan Racha Shamagi Eloi. And then when we were standing there at the wedding, people mentioned to Rabbeinu Zal about this fee that was due to him, this fee from the community that he was supposed to get, this rachash. On Av Omar, Rabbeinu Zal said, yes, definitely, Bevadai Magieli Rachash. I definitely deserve rachash. And again, the word rachash means, number one, this fee, but Rabbeinu Zal was marames also to this sorim ridafuni chinam, the persecution sometimes that great tzaddikim went through, where during their lifetime, unfortunately, they had major opposition. And Rabbeinu Zal said that this is certainly coming to me. We know Rav Nosson Zal writes, we had this previously in a chapter on the Likutei Moran, that the Gemara says that we do not accept converts when Mashiach comes, or during the time of King David and Shlomo HaMelech, when the Jews were on a high, when they were being looked up to and respected by the whole world, then we don't accept converts. Because a person, in order to come close, a person who's far from Hashem, in order for them to be able to really come close, they have to be tested. And one of the main tests is when there's opposition, there's obstacles, there's opposition. The tzaddik whom they're trying to come close to, people say bad things about him, things like that. And that serves as a deterrent, as an obstacle, as a test for some people that when they see that, they walk away. No, I don't want to get involved, etc. And chas v'shalom, they end up not coming close to Hashem through the help of that tzaddik. Whereas a person who's really sincere, a person who really wants to come close to Hashem, even when they see obstacles, they see difficult, they see opposition, they don't necessarily believe everything they hear, but rather they investigate. And sometimes that investigation can lead to the person coming close to a tzaddik who can really bring them close to Hashem. I remember many years ago when I first came to Breslov, I once heard from one of the rabbis, Rabbi Yechaim Rosen, Zichron Avrocha, that he mentioned that in the city of Uman, there was once a book fair. And people came with a stand with their books to sell. So one of the Breslover also came with Sfarim, you know, there at the book fair to sell to anybody who'd be interested. So there was a man who was walking over to the stand where the Breslov Sfarim were to look, to peruse, to see what this is about. So somebody went over to him and said, don't go there, don't look at that. Those Sfarim, you're not allowed to learn those Sfarim. It's no good. He said, really, really, okay. And he made believe he was walking away. When he came back, he said to the person, give me everything you have. Because this person at that time, unfortunately, was looking for bad things. He was looking for things that weren't necessarily very religious and very kosher. So he said, give me everything you have, or mail it to me. He gave him his address, send me this form, you know. A few months later, this person showed up in Uman, in the Breslov Shul, as a Baal Tshuva. They saw that originally he was looking for, he thought he was shopping for Sfarim that weren't that kosher, but when he tasted the truth and the beauty in these Sfarim, this brought him close to Hashem. Any questions? We continue. Torah Reish Lamed Ches, chapter 238. Kisheshnei anoshim mechulokim beineihem, alei zeinyin, when two people disagree about a particular issue, ukeshayovoi hashlishi, and then a third person comes along, af she'enu yedea klal me'inyonon, even though that person isn't really knowledgeable in the topic, in the issue that they're disagreeing about, he doesn't really know a lot about it, and yet, azai yaskim imechod yoiser mim chaveroi. Very often we'll see that he'll hear part of the argument and he'll say, I think this person's right, or I think that person's right. I agree with that person. Even though this third person isn't really very knowledgeable, and yet they immediately lean in one direction. Rabbein Azal says, Ze machmas sheho echod somuch l'sharoshoi yoiser mechaveroi. The reason for this is, let's use names so we don't get confused. You have Reuven and Shimon who are in disagreement about a particular issue. Levi comes along and Levi says, I agree with Reuven. I think Reuven's right. So Rabbein Azal says this is because Levi, on a spiritual level, Levi and Reuven, their roots, the roots of their soul, are closer to each other. Ki bevadai yefsher sheyu shovim loy kechod. Because it's definitely impossible that both of these two people, Reuven and Shimon, should be equally close to Levi on in spiritual level, in terms of where their soul originates from. Ki ein shnei anoshim shofim, because no two people are identical. Vim kein, and that being the case, bevadai echod somuch yoiser. It's 100% we can be sure that one of these two is closer to Levi than the other one. And therefore, umize bo shehu maskim imzeh. And for this reason, Levi is drawn towards Reuven to agree with him, even though he said again, Levi isn't really very knowledgeable in what they're disagreeing about, but he feels a natural tendency to lean towards what to accept what Reuven is saying. And Rabbein Azal says, v'hovein, understand this. We know that the Zohar Kodesh and the Arizal use this type of terminology that all the souls are compared to a tree, and the tree has roots and the tree has branches that branch out, and from one branch splits out into four or five different branches, etc. And the souls are sometimes branches or leaves on these trees. And depending on how close one is to the other, that will determine sometimes the agreement or disagreement on certain issues. I remember I once saw in the Sefer Noyam Elimelech that he asks this question. He says, how is it that sometimes you have people who live next door to each other in an apartment building? Literally, their doors are 3 feet away from each other, and they're living in the building for 25 years, and they hardly have any contact with each other. They'll see each other, they'll say good morning, good night, but not more than that. And then you can have a person who you meet, never saw the person before, and engage the person in conversation, talking for 15 minutes or a half hour, and you feel a level of comfort as if you knew this person your whole life, a level of comfort and trust. And he explains, he says that all the souls originate from the Kisei HaKavod, from the throne of glory of Hashem. Those souls which in the Kisei HaKavod are close to each other, when they come down to this world, even if one ends up in Eretz Yisrael and the other one ends up in Australia, two completely different locations, as soon as they meet, as soon as they come together, the soul recognizes, this is my long-lost friend, my long-lost neighbor in the Kisei HaKavod, and there's an immediate connection, an immediate attraction, connection, a trust. Whereas the other ones, they can be next-door neighbors, sometimes they could even be relatives, blood relatives, and yet no connection. They don't seem to have any connection or loyalty one to another because of the fact that the souls in the place of origin are not close to each other. And again, this doesn't mean physical space. We're talking about spiritual levels, a concept of these two souls that are spiritually close and connected to each other and others that aren't. We know the Arizal, in his Sefer Shar HaGilgulim, where he goes into incredible depth and broadness and clarity on the topic of reincarnation, the Arizal shows there how all the souls originate from Adam HaRishon, who had two children, Cain and Hevel, and Shais, a third one, And the Arizal shows how from those three branched out generations and generations, and different rabbis in the Mishnah and in the Gemara. And the Arizal shows sometimes the closeness of certain rabbis to other rabbis, based on the fact that these come, both of these come from the side of Kayin, and these two come from the right side of Kayin, and there are other ones that come from the left side of Kayin. And he shows many instances where we can see the deep connections between these souls. Any questions?
Does this concept come into focus as well when children are making friends in school?
Yes. It's on all levels. That sometimes a person feels naturally drawn to another person and no connection at all to a third person. Torah Reish Lamed Tes, chapter 239. Al Yedei Machloikes Yefsher Ledaber. When there's conflict, it's impossible to speak. Ki Iker Hadibur Humisholoim. Because the real essence of speech comes from peace. Kamaisha Kosuv, as Dovra Melech says in Tehillim, Adabrono Sholoim. I will speak peace. Vialkein Tsorich Kolechod Koidem Hatfila Lekabel Alatzmoi Mitzvah Sasei Viohafto Lareacho Kamoicha. And for this reason, when it comes to one of the most important speeches that we make during the day, which is our tefillah, our prayer to Hashem, Rabbeinu Zal here quotes the Arizal, who says that before a person starts their shachris prayer, the person should say these words, I hereby accept upon myself the mitzvah, the positive commandment of loving every Jew like I love myself. Kedei shal yidei zeh sheyesh ahava v'sholom. Because by making that declaration and declaring that I love and I'm at peace with all Jews, this will help the person be able to speak properly in tefillah, that their words should come out right and be received warmly by Hashem. Aval kishe'ein sholoim, but when there's no peace, v'yesh machloikis, there's conflict and controversy, E.F. Shuladaber, then it's impossible to speak. V'alkein, and therefore, afilu im echod roitze sholoim. Even if you have an individual who wants peace, he's not looking to fight with anybody. Rak sheheim chelkim olav, however, unfortunately, he has enemies, he has opponents who are against him. He's not against them, he didn't instigate anything, nothing. They hate him, they don't like him, they're angry at him. Im kol zeh ein hasholim b'shleimus. Despite the fact that he's not really feeding this fire, still, there is no real peace here. There's no perfect peace here. Al kein yefshel adaber lo ispalel, and as a result of that, it becomes impossible to speak and to pray. Af shehu isholim, even though this person is a man of peace, meachar shehem cholkim olav, because they oppose him, because he's suffering this opposition, this could block him and close his mouth and disable him from being able to really pray properly or to speak properly. V'zeh shamar dovra melech al v'sholoim. This is why King David says in chapter 120 in Tehillim, Ani sholoim. Ki ani ish sholoim. I am a man of peace. Umitzidi hoya sholoim im kulam. If it were up to me, I would be at peace with everybody. Vim kol zeh, and despite, with all of that, v'chi adaber heim al hamilchama. How can I speak when they want war? Hainu sha'af shani sholoim, even though I'm at peace, im kol zeh yef shel adaber, despite that, it's impossible to speak, machmas hamilchama v'hamachloikis shem cholkem al hakanal. Because of the war and the opposition that they wage against me. Now Rabbeinu Zal says, V'hine kol hadiburim hei misholem kanal. As we said before, all speech comes from peace. It's interesting to note, again, I once heard this from Rav Rosenfeld, Zichron Avrocha. Towards the end of his life, he spent a lot of time learning the Sefer Shiloh HaKodesh, Shnei Luchai Sabris. And he once said, there's a Gemara towards the end of Brachas, where the Gemara has a few pages discussing the topic of dreams. And the Gemara says, if you see this in a dream, it means it portends A. If you see that in a dream, it portends B, and so on and so forth. So the Gemara there says that if a person sees a pot in a dream, a kedera, it's a sign of peace, shalom. And the Gemara doesn't explain what's the connection. The Shulchan Aruch says, I'll show you the connection very easily. A pot, we know there's broiling, there's roasting, there's cooking. Cooking is done in a pot generally. And in order to cook, it requires two things working together, water and fire. You cook in water and you use fire underneath. So therefore, a person sees a pot in a dream, that's a siman of shalom. Now, when it comes to speech, Rabbeinu Zal, we're going to see in a moment, Rabbeinu Zal is going to speak about the fire in speech. But we know that speech requires both. In order for a person to be able to speak physically, it requires liquid, moisture. When a person's throat is dry, they can't, or their mouth is dry, they find it difficult to speak. And at the same time, we'll see in a moment that in order to speak, a person has to be in a state of warmth. So back to the beginning of this paragraph. V'hine kol adiburim hemi sholim. All words and speech come from peace. V'alkein, and therefore, mi shehu bebechina sholim, a person who is really a person of peace, yochoy leida kol hadiburim shel kol ha'olam. That person can know the speech of everyone in the world. K'moy HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like Hashem, Shenikra Shalom, who is called Shalom. One of Hashem's names is peace, Shalom. Shehu Yoideya Kol Hadiburim Shel Kol Ha'olam. And Hashem knows the speech of every single person in the world. K'moy Shekosuf, as it says in the prophet Amos, Umagid la'odom ma sechoi, that Hashem tells a person what that person has spoken. And the Gemara tells us that this teaches us that not only does Hashem know what a person says in public, but even the private conversation that a person has in the bedroom with their wife, or a wife and husband, even that, Hashem will be able to tell the person exactly what they said. And therefore, the Gemara tells us that a person should be careful. The person shouldn't think, I'm in such a private place, no one knows, no one hears me, and I can speak in a way that's inappropriate. But rather, the Torah tells us that Hashem, there'll come a time when Hashem will he'll play the tape, and the person will hear everything they said, and chas v'shalom, imagine how embarrassing it is if the person spoke in an inappropriate way. So here it says, Umagid lota masechoi, Ki kol hadiburim boi mishalom, because as we said before, all speech comes from peace. Veze oisiois sholoim roshei tevois umagid laodom masichoi. And this is why the first letters of this sentence, which tells us that Hashem knows everything you're saying, and Hashem will tell you everything you ever said, the first letters of that pasuk make up the word sholoim. That it's this attribute of Hashem, that Hashem is Shalom, that's what gives Hashem this power to be able to know all of Dibur. Interesting, one of these Sifrei Kabbalah tells us, we know that we make the bracha HaPoirei Sukkas Shalom Oleinu V'al Kolam Yisrael V'al Yerushalayim, that Hashem spreads the Sukkah of peace over His nation, over Klal Yisrael, over the city of Yerushalayim. So the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the word sukkah represents peace. How is it? The word sukkah is made up of two parts. The outer letters are samach hei, and the inner letters are chaf vav. Samach hei, 65, is bigimatria aleph dalet nun yud. Hashem's name, aleph dalet nun yud. Chaf vav, 26, is bigimatria Hashem's name, yud kei vav kei. This is the name of Hashem, the way it's read and the way it's spoken. We know when we see the letters Yud, K, Vav, K, we don't pronounce it the same way that it looks. We pronounce it as Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, even though it appears differently. So the Sifrei Kabbalah tell us, if you take these two names of Hashem and you line them up, one on top of the other, the Yud on top of the Aleph, the He on top of the Dalet, the Vav on top of the Nun, and the last He on top of the Yud, you have Yud and Yud times Aleph. 10 times 1 is 10. Then you have He times Dalet. 5 times 4 is 20. That gives us 30. Then you have Vav times Nun. 6 times 50 is 300. We're up to 330. And then you have the last letters, He times Yud. 5 times 10 is 50. 330 plus 50 is 380, which is the word Shalom, plus the four letters. Shin, Lamed, Vav, Mem is 376. With the four letters, it's Begimatria 380, which is the word Shalom. So that again, the Sukkah represents the union and the peace between these two names of Hashem. The way Hashem's name is written and the way Hashem's name is pronounced. These two names of Hashem also are used to represent top and bottom. Hashem's name Yudke Vovke is called the Shem Ho'etzem, the name that represents the essence of Hashem, the highest place of Hashem. The name of Hashem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud represents when Hashem lowers himself, the presence of Hashem as it manifests itself in the lowest places, on earth, in the Olam Ha'asi, in the lowest places. So again, Shalom means bringing peace between opposites, between heaven and earth, between body and soul, between Yud Kei Vav Kei and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. The final paragraph of this Torah, Kol Hadiburim Boi Mechamimus. Rabbeinu Zal says, all speech comes from warmth, from heat. Umi sheyesh boi chamimus harbei, a person who has a lot of passion and heat, they're passionate about something, medaber harbei, they speak a lot. V'chein mi sheniskarer ve'ein boi chamimus, and so too, when a person becomes cold and they have no warmth, ein yochoy ledaber, they can't speak. Ki hadibur humei chamimus, because speech comes from warmth, from fire. Kamei shekosuv, as Dovid HaMelech says in Tehillim, Cham libi bekirbi, my heart is warm, it's hot inside of me. Behagigi tivareish, a fire rages in my inside of me. Dibarti b'lishoini, and I speak with my tongue. That fire comes out in the words coming out of my tongue. Vehu shalhuva denura, and this is like a flame of fire coming from the person's mouth. The speech that comes from the person's mouth when the person is on fire, when the person's excited, passionate about something. So here Rabbeinu Zal shows that dibur is an aspect of fire. Fire, passion, heat. And we mentioned before, everyone knows that in order to speak, it requires lubrication also. It requires moisture of the throat, liquid. Sometimes a person, the speech is coming out unclear, they take a drink, and then they're able to talk clearly. Baruch Hashem. Any questions? I recall in a previous chapter on Likutei Moran, chapter 9 and chapter 112, there Rabbeinu Zal speaks about speech, and he connects it to Noah's Ark. There he speaks about speaking words of emes. And there he says, he quotes the pasuk, Vel amo techaleno milmolo, that from above, from heaven, they crave amo. The word amo, aleph mem hei. And Rabbeinu Zal says there that the word amo, the aleph stands for eish, the mem stands for mayim, and the hei stands for the five parts from which speech emanates. It's called the hei moitzoyes haper, the throat, the lips, the tongue, the upper palate, and the teeth. Those are the five parts that play a role in how letters and words come out of a person's mouth. So again, it's the hey, is these five types, which are kolo from eish and mayim. Because again, speech is a combination of fire and water. And therefore, the more a person is closer to shalom, the more that person's speech can be effective. We'll start the next chapter, which is very special. Torah Resh Mem, chapter 240. Kol ha-hashbois v'chol ha-dvorim heim boim rak me-hatzadik ho-emes. All bounty, all shefa, and everything that comes to the world comes only from the true tzaddik, via the true tzaddik. We know that Kabbalistically, when we speak about how Hashem sends light down to the world, it starts from the top, it starts from the keser, and it works its way down to Chochmah and Bina, and then Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzachoyd, until it comes down to Yesoid. Yesoid is foundation. All the lights above it feed into the Yesoid, and the Yesoid, the Midah of Yesoid, is the one that passes it on to the Malchus. And we know that Yesoid, the term Yesoid, is associated with Tzaddik. With Tzaddik. There's a pasuk with Tzaddik, Yesoid Oilam. Yesoid means foundation. Yesoid means Tikkun HaBris. We say this every morning in Tefillah. We say, Lecho Hashem HaGedula VaHagvura VaTiferes VaNetzach VaHoid Ki Choil BaShomayim Uvaretz. The words Ki Choil are Bigimatria Yesoid. Ki is 30, Chaf Yud is 30, Choil, Chaf Lamed is 50. Together it's 80, it makes up the word Yesoid. Ki Choil BaShomayim Uvaretz. Heaven and earth, everything feeds into the Yesoid, feeds into the Tzaddik, and he's the one who distributes it to the Malchus and to the world. It goes via the Tzaddik. I remember Rav Rosenfeld, Zechon Avrocha, once when he was discussing the topic of Shimshon HaGibor. There the Navi tells us a riddle that Shimshon HaGibor gave to the Pelishtim, to the Philistines, where he said, Me'az yotza mosoik, me'ho'oichel yotza machol. He was talking about the fact that he had just engaged a lion in combat, and Shimshon HaGibor had torn the lion in half. He grabbed it by its jaws and tore it in half. And then when he came, and he left the carcass there. When he came back a while later, he saw that bees had formed a beehive in the carcass of this lion. So he was referring to this in his riddle, Meha Oichel Yotzamachel. From that which eats a lion, Yotzamachel, came forth something which is eaten. Umeaz Yotzamosek. There's nothing more powerful. Az ois means powerful. From the most powerful, from the lion, came forth something sweet, this honey. But the Zohar HaKadosh says, Meha Oichel Yotzamachel. Machel means shefa, food, shefa, sustenance. All sustenance comes, Meha Oichel, from the one who is called Oichel. Who is Oichel? There's a pasuk, Tzadik Oichel Lesoiva Nafshoi. The Tzadik eats to satisfy his soul. He doesn't eat because of physical desires. He doesn't eat for pleasure. He eats to nourish the soul. So the Tzadik is called Oichel. Meha Oichel Yotzo Machel. All shefa comes forth from the Tzadik. The Alkein, and therefore, Kishemakurov La Tzadik Oemes, when a person is close to the true Tzadik, Yuchal Lekabel Bekal Esma Shetzorech Loi. Then it's easy for the person to receive what they need, Hein Ashirus, whether it's wealth, Oibonim, or children, or whatever it is, anything the person needs. Avol Kishu Rochoik Me'at Tzadik, whereas when the person is far from the Tzadik, Azai Boloi Bekoishi Godol. Then it's much more difficult, it's very difficult for the person to be able to receive their needs. Ki kol echod mekabel ashirus soibonim lefi amazel shaloi. Because each and every person receives wealth or children based on their mazal. V'hamazel mekabel ha-hashpo me'atzadik. And the mazel receives its shefa from the tzadik. Kimishom boim kol ha-hashpois, because all hashpois come from there. We know, we just had recently the story of Avram Avinu, that Avram Avinu said to Hashem, when Hashem told him, you're going to be blessed with children, many children, he said, Hashem, I'm knowledgeable in gazing at stars, and I see in the stars that I cannot have children. Hashem said, come with me. And Hashem lifted him up above the stars, to show him, you are not controlled or bound by the stars. You are a tzaddik. You're the one who gives to the stars receive their shefa. The mazel receives from you. You are the one who is mashpia into the mazolos. This term mazel has many definitions. This is brought, is mentioned in the Gemara in several places, and in the Zohar HaKadosh in many places, that the term mazel takes on multiple meanings. The term mazel sometimes refers to the rachmim gedolim of Hashem, the highest levels of kindness from Hashem, the keser, the crown, which again, the tzaddikim are the ones who have the ability to access this. This is why we see throughout the Gemara many cases where there's a problem, there's a drought, there's no rain, they go to the tzaddik, they go to Choni Amagol, they go to Abba Binyamin, they go to the tzaddik and say, you pray for rain. When Rachel Imenu couldn't have children, she said to Yaakov Avinu, Havali Bonim, you give me children. V'alkein, and therefore, kishu rochik me'at tzaddik, when a person is distant from the tzaddik, azai hamazel tzorech lasis lekoyach godol kdei lekabel ha'ashpo me'at tzaddik. Then that person's mazel has to exert tremendous effort in order to be able to receive the flow of bounty from the tzaddik, machmashu rochik me'anu, because the person is far from the tzaddik. V'alkein nimtza bozeh chilukim rabim. And therefore, there are many different variations of this. Lefomim magia l'odom ashirus v'hu meis mizeh v'nishar ho ashirus layorshim. Sometimes a person will finally attain wealth, but they won't live to enjoy it. A person will pass away, and the wealth will be passed on to those that inherit them, to their descendants. Ulefomim hu meis al yidei zeh shemekabel ashirus. And sometimes the person will die in the process, during the time when they're receiving the wealth. As the wealth is being given to them, they'll die. V'gam oyvei deso ashirus. And the person loses the wealth. They can't hold on to it. V'chein chilukim rabim. And there are many different variations of this. And now Rabbeinu Zal is going to give us a parable to explain this. We'll take this up further, Mitz Hashem, the following week, Mitz Hashem. Any questions before we close? Now, for those that aren't familiar with this terminology, a person sees this and says, who is this Rabbi Nachman? How dare he say, everything comes from Hashem. What kind of crazy comes from the tzaddik? Who made this? Where did he get this from? Where did he make this up from? The answer is there are tens of references to this in the Zohar HaKadosh in many places. And again, even in the Gemara, we see that when people are lacking, they turn to the tzaddik and ask the tzaddik, you pray for us. You make it happen. Because they know that it's through his efforts, through his closeness to Hashem, that we're able to receive the bounty, that we're able to receive the shefa that we need. This doesn't exempt us from praying. This doesn't mean we don't put in our effort. But it means that one of the critical pieces is this connection to the tzaddik. And this is why Rabbi Nachman taught us the custom in Breslov that before we pray, we say Hareini Mekasher Esatzmi L'chol Hatzadikim Amitim Shebedareinu. I'm hereby attaching myself, binding myself to all the tzadikim in our generation, the living ones and those who have passed away. By doing that, I'm making that connection. I'm attaching myself to the tzaddik and enabling the tzaddik to help me be able to receive the shefa, the flow of shefa from Hashem. Any questions? A wonderful week to everybody with shefa, bracha, and atzlacha.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rabbi. Thank you.
Sure. All the best.